Good morning, and welcome to Stony Creek Church today. Well, let's get down to business here. You ready for the word? All right, let's go for it. How many of you have heard of the Witness Protection Program, huh? Oh yeah, lots of you. You're the government's key witness in an important case, but you're afraid. You're afraid for your family, you're afraid for your life, if there will be repercussions, consequences, you know, from the mafia or whatever it is you're testifying against. And so the government puts you in their witness protection program. It's a huge decision because it's really going to dramatically change your life. Your identity is completely altered. Your name, your birth certificate, your social security number, your driver's license, everything about you changes. You will be completely relocated. All your records of your former ID are erased so that nobody can find you. The old you is history. The new you has been born. This program requires that you leave all your family, all the people that you know behind, everything, parents, siblings, all your assets, leave it behind. Medical records and school records are quickly transferred, and you're given a fake credit history. Some of us could maybe use that or really welcome that. You're given a stipend until you find a new job. Your whole life gets rebooted. Imagine that. It's amazing. But I'm here to tell you today that something even more radical happens to you when you become a Christ follower. Did you know that? You get a whole new identity, life, and future. And this is for real. Doesn't matter how old you are when you become a Christ follower. You could be 5, 25, 95, doesn't matter. You're getting a new identity. When you become a Christ follower, everything changes, or at least begins to radically change. Today, our message is entitled, The New You. You want to get your outline out so you can follow along. Last Sunday, we learned about reshaping your self-image. We studied Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, where we learned about the past, present, and future of the Christ follower. Your past was death. Your present is life in Christ, and your future is in God's trophy case where you will show off His amazing grace on display for all eternity. That's your true self. That's the new you, and the new you is the true you. That is the self-image of a Christ follower. We need to see ourselves the way God sees us so that we can act the part. Today, we're building on what we learned last Sunday. What's it like to live your new identity? You know, you're in the witness protection program, the witness for Christ protection program, right? What's it like to live this way? How does it differ from your old identity? Well, our text today, it's just one verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, and please help me out when we come to the yellow print, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Help me. Old things have passed away, and look, new things have come. Oh, I love this verse. I always think of my wife, because when I met her the first time, she wasn't my wife yet, this was kind of her life verse. She was always reciting this verse. So I love this verse for that reason and for the reasons we're going to see here today. A couple of years ago, a man and his family began attending Stony Creek Church. His name was Alan Cato. And he's sitting right down here with his wife, Tess. Alan was raised attending church, but he never knew Jesus in a personal way. He wasn't a new creation in Christ. In today's message, we're going to hear Alan's story as we study this scripture text that we just read. The Apostle Paul says, old things have passed away. Well, Alan is going to tell us about the old things in his life. Let's hear the first part of Alan's story and watch it.
I was always a believer in God, but was never a true follower of Jesus. I knew who Jesus was and believed in him. However, my way of life would disprove that. I can go on and on about the countless sins I have made, but we wouldn't have enough time for that. A good example to explain what kind of relationship I had with Jesus before I started attending Stony Creek Church would be like me being married to my wife, but never being faithful to her. Your marriage is broken when you're not faithful. I believed in Jesus and that he is the Son of God, but was never faithful about it. I was living in sin and putting my hopes and faith in things that this world had to offer. But those hopes always came up short. They left me empty and disappointed. There were moments when I tried to stop one of my many bad habits in order to try and be a better person. I can recall a time when I wanted to give up cursing. I had an extremely foul mouth and I cursed all the time. I didn't just curse at my work, but I also brought it home with me to my wife and to my kids. Well, Lent had started in the Catholic Church, and I decided to give up my horrendous foul language. I thought that it would be a great thing to give up for obvious reasons, and I was hoping it would make me a better person. And so the clock literally struck midnight, the beginning of Lent, and I remember telling my wife, "It's midnight. I can't cuss anymore." And before 12:02 a.m., I had already cursed 2 times. 2 minutes. I only lasted less than 2 minutes without cursing. Again, there are many more stories where I can tell you how I have failed, and especially failing when it came to my faith in Jesus.
That's the new Alan looking back on the old Alan. See, if you're a Christ follower, there's an old you. Remember the old you? It may have been a long time ago for you. Some of us, it's much more recent. There's an old Randy, and there's a new one. It's your BC self, your old self, before you became a new creation. Today, our lesson is all wrapped up in our main idea, the one thing you want to remember if you forget everything else, and if you're taking notes, and I hope you are, you'll want to write it down. It goes like this. The new you in Christ keeps getting newer and better. It keeps getting newer and better. You say, that doesn't make any sense. How can it get newer as it gets older? The moment you trusted in Christ as your leader and rescuer, you switched identities and became new, but it doesn't end there. You keep getting newer, and we're going to see how that happens. You keep getting newer and better as it goes along. Let's look at it today. We've got 3 ways a Christ follower becomes new. The first is number 1 on your outline, your new identity. When you became a Christ follower, it's much bigger a switch than getting a new birth certificate or a new name or a new driver's license or a new Social Security number, a new place of residence, a new credit history, whatever it is. You could go on and on. It's bigger than that. As we learned last Sunday, you are now in Christ. Remember those 2 little words? In Christ. The Apostle Paul here says, if anyone is in Christ, that 2-word expression is the basis of the new you. Last Sunday, we compared it to traveling in a plane. If you want to go where the plane is going, you have to be in the plane. Not just next to the plane, or under the plane, or near the plane, but in the plane. And once you are in the plane, you go where the plane goes. Whatever happens to the plane happens to you. Today I've got another illustration, but it comes to us from the world of tending sheep. How many of you are shepherds? Not too many. I don't see anyone out there who's a shepherd. So this is a little bit of a different world for us, so I'm going to have to explain it to you. I want you to picture a mother sheep who has just lost one of her lambs. She's traumatized by this. One of her babies has died. Now picture a little lamb whose mother has just died. This is an orphan lamb. And the orphan lamb is in danger of starving because if it doesn't have a mother, no other mother is going to accept it. It's in danger of starving to death. And so the shepherd takes the little lamb that died, the mother who lost her lamb, takes that lamb and skins it, and takes that skin and puts it on and puts it around the orphan lamb. And when the mother who lost her baby smells the skin of her baby on that orphan lamb, she accepts it as her own because it is in the skin of her own. No longer is it an orphan. No longer is it rejected because it is in the skin of a true son, we would say. It's accepted. Christ follower, before you were in Christ, you were a spiritual orphan. You were rejected due to your sins. You were lost. We learned about this last week. You were without hope. You were doomed to damnation. But the moment you repented of your sins and trusted in the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you were put in the skin of the Lamb of God who died for you on the cross and was raised from the dead. And the Father no longer sees you on your own merits, thank God for that. As for your legal status, he sees you in the skin of his Son, as it were. And so he treats you as he would treat his son. You share in his inheritance. In the new heaven and the new earth, you're totally accepted. Christ follower, this is how God sees you. And it's how you need to see yourself. Because when you see yourself as God sees you, you're seeing reality, right? Okay, let's look at the second way a Christ follower becomes new. The first was your identity. The second is new creation. New creation. You say, creation? Creation? Isn't that a little bit over the top? New creation? I mean, that really makes it sound like I'm new. You know? Like, the old is all gone. I mean, how can that be? I should be totally different if I'm a new creation, head to toe, but I still have the same problems. I still have a lot of the same flaws, imperfections, health issues, even as a Christ follower. I hear you. I hear you. And yet Paul says here, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. What's he mean by this? New creation. Actually, this might seem to even make the thing worse, but harder to understand. He's talking here about the new heaven and the new earth that's coming. In the book of Revelation, the Apostle John says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. This was a theme in the Old Testament, in Isaiah, and it comes again in Revelation. And this is what Paul is referring to. You say, that doesn't help. Now I'm even more confused. I mean, that's way off. That's in the future. That's the new universe. That's not me. What does that have to do with me right now here in Utica in this church? What does it have to do with me tomorrow morning when I go back to work? Answer, it has everything to do with you. See, long ago, God created the present universe, right? The galaxies, all the stars, the planets, the moon, the earth, all the creatures on the earth, including humans. But one day, God is going to recreate the universe. Bigger, better, brighter than ever before. There'll be renewed galaxies and stars and planets, and the whole earth is going to be gloriously recreated into a perfect paradise. You say, okay, I got that. Sounds really good, but what does it have to do about with me right now? We're not living in that time. Well, actually, and this is where it's really important to listen up, actually, it's already started to arrive, the new creation. And you're a part of it. It began with one person. Guess who? Jesus. The correct answer to every Sunday school question, right? Yeah, there you go. It started with him. When Jesus was raised from the dead, get this, when he was raised from the dead, his crucified body was transformed into a perfect body that will never die again. Jesus' resurrection was God's first act of the new creation. That's so important to understand. And remember that you are now in what? Christ. You are in Christ. You're a Christ follower. The new creation has already started in you too. It began the day you repented of your sins and trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You received that new life that we discussed last Sunday. You were born again. And so let's get back now to Alan's story and tell, as he tells us, how it happened to him. Alan?
The main thing that was missing for me when I attended church was I never really understood what was going on during the service. I wasn't understanding the sermons, the prayers, or why we had to stand or sit, nothing. I never knew the story of Jesus. I barely knew anything about the Old Testament. I literally thought David versus Goliath was a myth. I was pretty much lost when it came to my faith. I didn't follow Jesus, I didn't trust in Jesus, and I didn't have an understanding of who Jesus was and why he was sent to us. So now, having been married for about 3 years and 2 kids later, my life was in need of some real help. Everything I tried to do, from making money, working hard, trying to be a good husband and a good father, was failing. I was stressed to the max and lost. I hit a point where I had nowhere else to turn. Everything I tried was wrong, and it would put my family and me in a worse position. This was a time where God made a move with me. I turned to God because I had nowhere else to go, and I believe I never would have turned to Him if I weren't in a bad position. Scripture does say in 2 Corinthians 12:9, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness." Well, I got to feel that power, and it is the greatest feeling when you know God is working with you. Around that time, I was searching for a new church to go to. My sister recommended me Stony Creek Church. So I attended a service, and it was during the times when the pastors were going over the story of King David, a man after God's own heart. After attending Stony Creek Church for the first time, I had learned more from that one sermon than I had ever learned from church throughout my life. The message was clear, crystal clear. I knew and understood what the message was for that day. It was like watching a movie being played in my mind as the pastors were speaking about the story of David. I felt as if the sermons were literally speaking to me directly, directed towards me, and that everyone else that was there was only there to hear the message that was for me. It's funny, but it's sometimes the sermons would give me goosebumps because the word was striking to my heart. It was life-changing. I know life-changing may sound pretty extreme, but it was, because shortly after one of the sermons is when I met Pastor Randy. He introduced himself to me and spent some real time getting to know me. However, he didn't waste no time in getting me to put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He sat with me right there in the front row and asked me the questions that I had already thought I knew the answers to. Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe Jesus died on the cross for your sins and was risen from the dead after 3 days? Will you put your trust in the Lord Jesus and repent and ask God for forgiveness? Do you know that the only way to the Father is through Jesus and not through good works? I remember that moment and thinking, yes, I do, and I always have. But the truth was, I never truly put my trust in Jesus. I never really followed Jesus. I never welcomed Jesus into my heart, even though I knew he was right there the whole time.
Well, I remember that Sunday. I always remember those times when somebody is just ripe for the picking. And that was you, buddy. He was sitting on this front row, and we start this conversation, and I explain the gospel message to him, and he says, yes, I know those things, but I said, have you ever received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Have you become a new person in Christ? He says, no. So we prayed together, and he trusted in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And that was a great day. But you know, once you're saved, God isn't done with you yet. In fact, he's just getting started. He's just getting warmed up. The journey has only begun. You're a creation in progress, let me tell you. Right now, you and I as Christ followers, I guess you could say we're in between creations. We're residents, we're occupants of two universes, you might say. You still have your sin nature, in case you haven't noticed. That's that inclination to do evil. We talked about it last week in some detail. The Lord is going to remove that one day, so you will no longer have that pull, that propensity to do what is wrong. And you still have your mortal body right now, of course, and it keeps aging. It gets tired, and it needs constant trimming and grooming and wiping and hydrating and exercising and resting and feeding and so forth. As it says in 2 Corinthians 4:16, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Outwardly, we're wasting away. Even if you go to Judy's salon, and she's going to really help you look a lot better. All right? But you're still wasting away outwardly. But if you're a Christ follower, you're being renewed day by day. Outward degeneration, yet inward regeneration. And one day, if Jesus doesn't return first, your body, that's going to fall apart on you. It is. You're going to die. You'll go to be with the Lord. But even then, do you know? Even then, your new creation is not finished yet. In fact, when you get to heaven, you're still only halfway recreated. That's right. You've made it halfway. You see, the new creation happens in stages. The first stage, as we learned, is Jesus' resurrection. He was the first installment of the new creation on that first Easter Sunday. Second stage is the new inner you. That's your conversion. The inner you has been recreated. And then the third stage is the gradual renewal of the inner you. This is as you grow in Christ. You're being renewed day by day. The body is declining, but the spirit is growing. It's getting more and more like the new creation, the ultimate destination. And then the next step, number four, is the inner you is totally renewed. This is when your sin nature is eliminated. That happens at death. You die, sin nature gone. All of a sudden now you're in the presence of the Lord, but you're naked. It's true. That's the way Scripture talks about it. You're naked. You don't have your body. You're just a naked spirit. Your body got left behind. So you're not done yet. But then, the fifth part, the fifth stage is the body is transformed. This is at the second coming. And it's put back together with your spirit. And then finally, the final stage, the sixth stage, is the whole universe is recreated. The new heaven and the new earth. You see, you're a creation in process, and you keep getting newer and better. Christian, this is the truth about you. This is the new you. We need to see ourselves the way God sees us, because when you see yourself as God sees you, you're seeing reality. Let's look at the third way a Christ follower becomes new. Number three on your outline is your new future. Now, this may be the neatest part of all. Notice carefully Paul's wording. He says, "Old things have passed away, and look, new things have come." New things have come. The key word here is have. If I say to you, "I came to you," well, I'm talking there about a past event, right? Something that happened and is no longer happening. I came to you. That's past tense. But if I say to you, "I have come to you," it means I've arrived in the past and I'm still with you. You see, my visit is a work in process. It's an unfolding event that's still happening. I have arrived. That's what we see here in 2 Corinthians 5:17. He says, "Look, new things have come." This means the new creation has arrived and it's continuing to unfold. As a new creation, you keep getting newer. Say, "Man, that sounds bizarre. That can't happen. You can't get newer." If I bought a computer today, and then tomorrow I say to you, "I got a new computer," I can still say that because it's still new, but it's not as new as it was yesterday, right? It's a little bit older. And the next day it's going to be a little older than that. It keeps getting older. But not so with the new creation. The new creation, it works in reverse, for crying out loud. It keeps renewing itself. It keeps getting newer and better. Newness is always taking over the old. Let's go back to Alan's story of experiencing newness in Christ. Alan, Take it away.
Since that time, I sat with Pastor Randy. My wife and I have both been baptized at Stony Creek Church. My wife and I both read the Bible regularly. I have read the Bible for the first time in full from front to back with the guidance and supervision from Pastor Randy. I now have a better understanding of the full story of Israel and of Jesus. I have become a member of Stony Creek Church, which is my first, and have been attending for almost 2 years. After being baptized, I have noticed the power of the Holy Spirit working dramatically with me and my family. I have multiple stories that can account to this fact. One is in regards to my bad habit of cursing. I mentioned it to Randy once after church service, and he sat me down. I told him how I have failed to quit this bad habit in the past and how difficult it is for me to stop talking in such a bad language. I explained how my workplace, which is an expediting trucking company, makes it extremely difficult to not curse all the time and get angry. Have you ever heard of trucker's mouth? Well, I made a trucker's mouth sound like a saint when it came to cursing. It was really bad, and the worst part was I carried that bad habit with me just about everywhere I went. It really bothered me when I would curse at and to my wife and also to my children. It was a serious problem. So Randy sat me down and showed me how I should pray the next time I pray. He told me to open my hands like this and ask for the Holy Spirit to please give me the strength to remove this bad habit from my life. That night, I went home and prayed just before bed. Not only can I say this about myself, but my wife, my co-workers, my drivers, and just about anyone who is in my presence regularly can confirm that my bad habit of cursing has been removed from my life. One prayer to the Holy Spirit. It took just one, and it changed my life. It changed my life in many other ways, and I wish I could share them all to everyone. Not only my language, but with just about everything I do. The Lord has transformed me by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is the greatest gift I have ever received, and I pray that the Lord keeps working with me as I always need His help. Stony Creek Church has a purpose, and their purpose is to make more and better followers of Jesus. I believe they follow through on their purpose, and what greater purpose is there than to follow our Lord Jesus Christ?
Amen. There's a new creation for you. Old things passing away, all things becoming new. And it keeps getting newer. You keep getting better as you grow in Christ. God performs miracles in us when we ask. He does take away bad habits. He does give us the power to change because that's what the new creation is all about. Some cases it takes time because maybe God wants to make it a process with you and you need some counseling and some work. In other instances, he dramatically just takes it away from you instantly. But it's a new creation. All right, let's look at some ways of applying today's message. I've put some things there on your outline to apply the things we've learned. First of all, cooperate with God's process of recreating you. See, God doesn't work against your will. That's always what slows it down, is because we're putting the brakes on the Holy Spirit. And so get rid of bad habits of the old life. Confess, repent of your sins. Replace sinful habits with new Christian habits and lifestyle. And if you need help praying about that and learning how to get the new life as a habitual thing in your life, come and talk with one of us. We can pray with you and help you. Secondly, tell yourself the truth about your new identity in Christ. Tell yourself the truth. I am a new person in Jesus. The old mindset, the old habits, the old interests, the old desires, have no future with me. I am new, and I am going to live new for Jesus. Scripture refers to this as renewing your mind. And it's crucial to living the life for Christ, the renewal of your mind. Next, tell your story to others, as Alan did for us. It's a great way to share the gospel with somebody, is just to say, hey, let me tell you my story. And I would encourage you to organize that and write it out and have it ready. Practice it a few times. This was an exercise for Alan in my discipling of him, is to learn how to share his testimony. And I said, hey, why don't we put it up on the screen? Let everybody hear it. But every Christian can do this. And you can adapt it to the situation that you're in when you're explaining it to a person that you're sharing with. Finally, if you've never become a new person in Christ, ask Jesus to save you today. I'm not asking you, have you gone to church all your life? Maybe you have. But have you become a new person, a new creation in Him? You embrace Him as your Lord and Savior and turn your back on your old life and believe that He died for you and rose from the dead. That's how you become a new creation in Christ. It's really as simple and yet as profound as that. All right, well, we're going to close up our service now, and we're going to have the ushers come and prepare for this morning's offering. And the band is going to lead us in a closing song. Let's take a moment to introspect and allow the Holy Spirit to work on our hearts and our minds, because He wants to do business with each of us. And each of us is a different case. And so He's going to speak something different to each one of us. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You for a new life in Christ. Lord, I pray that all of us today who are Christ followers in this room would begin to think of ourselves and see ourselves the way You see us. And as a result, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we would act the part. We would live for You as we see ourselves as You see us in Christ. I pray, Father, that You would imprint this on our minds so that it would be lived out in our behavior. I pray for those here who don't know the Lord Jesus. They've never become a new creation in Christ. May any such person say right now, dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I've known the truth about You, but I've never embraced Christ as my Lord and my Savior from all sin. I believe He died for me and rose from the dead. And I trust in Jesus. Save me, Jesus. Save me. Lord, as we give You our gifts here today, may it be an act of worship that You accept from us gladly. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.